It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Hey there, good afternoon. Happy Friday. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert. You are tuned in to Cole & Company. It is June 23rd. I'm 20 and 23. Another beautiful day outside, albeit warm. It's late June in Iowa. Sturgis Falls celebration underway here in Cedar Falls. Yours truly will be part of the parade tomorrow morning. I'll be out at Overman Park on Sunday, midday. I think I had heard Mark Simpson from Maximum Mornings fame this morning say that he's going to be out there midday tomorrow. So pick your poison there. If you want to come say hi, do so. Always love meeting everybody and talking a little bit out there at the park at Sturgis Falls. So hope you have a fun and safe weekend. But before we really get there, we got business to take care of, fun business, as we got a full boat today on the show after a bunch of truncated shows earlier this week due to the Cubs, College World Series. Speaking of the College World Series, holy cow, how about that game last night? LSU wins over Wake Forest on a walk-off home run. Now the Tigers will take on the Florida Gators in the championship series of the College World Series. What did they say on the broadcast last night? The guy said, he called it, instead of Omaha, he called it Dramaha, I think is what he said. Definitely fits. That's the College World Series for you, man, and it's really been a treat to be able to bring these games to you. The broadcasts have been outstanding, and got to thank our great partners at Westwood One Sports. Like usual, they're doing an outstanding job. And coverage of the College World Series begins tomorrow night here on The Fan with Game 1 of that championship series. 5:45 is going to be the pregame coverage start time. I think that's going to be like a 6:05 first pitch for what it's worth. And then Sunday's game is an afternoon game, a little matinee action. That's a 1:45 pregame start time. And as always, that's a great reminder as to why you need to have the website, 1650thefan.com, bookmarked. You go to the website on the homepage, you hover your mouse over the on-air tab, and then you can see where you can click on the broadcast calendar. And that's where you can find all of the upcoming games, when they're going to be on the air, all the details you need to know about them, and a whole lot else at that website, 1650thefan.com, including our stream. Maybe you're tuned in that way. Maybe you're tuned in on 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on our smart speaker. One quick note, unfortunately, I'm sure that we're a little down on our audience today. We've got a repair that we are making right now at our tower site, and our AM has been down. And just a little behind the curtain, because I'll take you behind the curtain from time to time. There's professionals out there that climb our towers, you know, climb radio towers. And on such short notice, we were unable to get a tower climber until late in the afternoon today, you know, on a summer Friday. So bear with us here. Our great engineer, Mark Schumacher, is doing all that he can to get us back on the air on our AM. But in the meantime, and if anybody's been asking you today, maybe you've gotten a text from a friend or something like that, let them know. We expect to be able to get it back up and on the air shortly. That's the way it's looking right now. But in the meantime, 102.3 FM on the mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Okay, follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go on the Zuck machine. Speaking of Zuck, did you see this where Elon Musk challenged Mark Zuckerberg to a cage match? Like an MMA-style cage match? And maybe, sounds like possibly, this could happen? Not something that I was really in the market for, but and I'm a much bigger Elon. I'm not really a big fan of either, but if I had to choose, I'd take Elon Musk 8 days a week over Mark Zuckerberg, just in terms of seeming likability. But I mean, there's been pictures out there recently of both these dudes without their shirts on, and I don't know how Elon Musk wouldn't get absolutely worked over. Like, Zuckerberg's been doing, I think, Taekwondo or something like that lately, and he's just really been into a fitness kick over, like, the last year or two of his life. So, I mean, I would think that Elon Musk would know that, but nonetheless, in this crazy world of ours, that's another thing that's going on. In case you missed it, you're welcome. If you want to connect to the show, 319-277-1918 is the number to dial. Questions or comments that you'd like to bring to the program, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show, email address cole@1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, send me an email. Just know I might read it on the air. Email address cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, here's what's on the agenda today. We'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a little bit. Regional softball pairings are out, so we'll bring you what the Metro teams have lined up for them in the first round of the high school softball playoffs. And you can go to our website, see the story there, and there is a link to click through where you can see all of the regional softball pairings at the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Association or Athletic Union website, I should say. So that's a part of what's in the stack today. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday, your Sturgis Falls broadcast, if you will. Forecast, I should say. And we'll come back in the next segment. Going to have a couple of great guests joining us, and it's going to be David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, friend of the show. You can follow him and should be following him on Twitter, at David Eicholt. And we're going to break down Chris Murray being selected 23rd overall by the Portland Trailblazers in last night's NBA draft. It's an interesting fit for Murray because this Portland roster is as in flux as any, if not more than any roster right now in the NBA, because their superstar, Dame Lillard, doesn't seem to know whether or not he wants to ask or demand for a trade. He's never been that type of superstar. That's a big reason why so many people like him, albeit there doesn't seem to be some sort of clear path whatsoever for serious contention in the Western Conference for the Trailblazers. So they also had the number three pick last night. They got Scoot Henderson, who was the phenom talent that had spent a year in the G League, then became draft eligible. So there's some interesting things to talk about there, and I'm looking forward to breaking it down with David. Also, earlier this week, I know Iowa football had some player availability, so we'll ask David who he spoke to and have him empty his notebook on the Hawkeyes when he joins us like usual, and that's coming up in the next segment of today's show. After we're done talking with David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com. We'll take the timeout near the bottom of the hour. That's when you get Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back in the third segment, and Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register is going to join us. You can follow him on Twitter at Tommy Birch. The Cubs have the London series coming up beginning tomorrow. Two-game series in London against the St. Louis Cardinals, and you'll be able to hear those games right here on The Fan, your home for Cubs baseball. Pregame show begins at 11:35 tomorrow morning, and then Sunday it's Coffee and Cubs, 8:35 pregame Sunday morning. Getaway day when you are across the pond means morning baseball over here stateside. So Tommy's going to join and talk about the Cubs, who are red hot right now, have won 8 of 9. Obviously, he does a great job covering the Iowa Cubs as the Register's beat writer for them, and he's connected at all levels of the Cubs organization. So if you have any questions, any just general baseball questions for Tommy, send an email, dial up the show, and become a part of the conversation. After we're done with Tommy, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Friday edition of the program. So that is what's on the agenda today, boys and girls. Let's go ahead and dive right in. Last night in Metro Baseball, Waterloo East split a doubleheader against Mason City. Mason City won the first game 17-6. Trojans took the nightcap 3-2. And Waterloo Columbus outscored West Marshall 11-7. In Metro Softball, Waterloo West rallied late to beat Cedar Falls 5-3. And Mason City rolled past Waterloo East in a doubleheader sweep. The Riverhawks won by scores of 18-0 and 19-0. Tonight in Metro Baseball, Cedar Falls has a doubleheader at Cedar Rapids Jefferson. Waterloo West has a twin bill at Cedar Rapids Kennedy. And Waterloo Columbus is competing in a four-team tournament today at Riverfront Stadium. In Metro Softball, Cedar Falls, Waterloo West, and Waterloo Columbus all competing at the Don Bosco Invitational. The latest Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union softball rankings are out. Ankeny Centennial remains top-ranked in 5A. Carlisle still top-ranked in 4A. Same goes in 3A with Williamsburg, as in 2A with Iowa City Regina, and finally in Class 1A, Martinsdale St. Mary's, a new number one. Area schools in the rankings in Class 2A, Wapsie Valley is 13th, and Jessup is 14th, and in Class 1A, Clarksville is ranked 7th. As I mentioned, the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union has released regional softball pairings. Class 1A and 2A first-round games begin a week from today on Friday, June 30th. Meanwhile, Class 3A, 4A, and 5A first-round games begin on Thursday, July 6th. Here are the pairings for Metro schools. In Class 5A, Cedar Falls in Region 1 is going to open with a home game against Waterloo East. Meanwhile, Waterloo West is in Region 4 and will play on Saturday, July 8th at Ames. In 2A, Waterloo Columbus in Region 5 and will begin tournament play on Wednesday, July 5th with a home game against Dyke New Hartford. You'll see a link on our website where you can click through and get to all of the regional softball pairings. The Waterloo Bucks stopped a six-game losing streak, winning 8-6 at Duluth last night. The Bucks built an 8-3 lead after four innings and hung on for the win. Out-hit Duluth 15-3. Bucks now 9-16 this season and close out that series and a six-game road trip tonight at Duluth. The 2023-24 Iowa State men's basketball non-conference schedule has been released. It features 9 home games at Hilton Coliseum, season opener November 6th. Against Green Bay. Some of the highlights on the non-conference schedule, there's not many. The site has the Cyclones competing in the ESPN Events Invitational November 23rd through the 26th in Orlando, and that field includes Boise State, Butler, FAU, Penn State, Texas A&M, VCU, and Virginia Tech. The annual Cyhawk game will take place December 7th at Hilton Coliseum. And as I mentioned, Iowa standout All-Big Ten forward Chris Murray, drafted by the Portland Trailblazers last night with the 23rd overall pick in the first round, and that marks the second year in a row the University of Iowa has had a player selected in the first round of the NBA draft. Of course, that was Keegan Murray, Chris's twin brother, who went number 4 overall last year to Sacramento. Chris Murray became the 11th first-rounder from Iowa and just the 5th in the last 30 years. He was a semifinalist for the Wooden and Naismith Awards and a Big Ten first-teamer by both coaches and media. That's what we're going to talk about next here on a Friday edition of the show as David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com joins us after the break to talk all things Chris Murray going to the Trailblazers. And as I mentioned, Iowa football player availability earlier this week, so we'll talk a little Hawkeyes football with David as well. That's all next right here on a Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
The sale of the Washington Commanders to the group led by Josh Harris could be finalized by July 20th. That's when the NFL owners are expected to vote on the purchase from the Snyder family, according to the NFL Network. The Bills have given head coach Sean McDermott and GM Brandon Bean two-year contract extensions. Their deals now run through the 2027 season. Texans signed third overall pick Will Anderson Jr. to his rookie deal. In the NBA, Oscar Tshiebwe has agreed to a deal on a two-way contract with the Indiana Pacers. Clippers forward Kawhi Leonard had a cleanup procedure on his injured right knee, should be ready for training camp this fall. In golf, second round of the Travelers Championship, Denny McCarthy right now has the lead at 15 under par, but he's not alone. Keegan Bradley's got it to 15 under. Bradley with two more holes to play on his final round. Mariner star Julio Rodriguez to compete in the Home Run Derby in his home park next month in Seattle.
Listen to Chicago Cubs baseball right here on 102.3 and 1650 The Fan.
Don't miss the Sturgis Falls Celebration this weekend in downtown Cedar Falls. Live music and entertainment with stages in both Overman and Gateway Parks. Family fun with a kids' way tent featuring tons of activities. Shop the Arts and Crafts Fair on Sunday too. Complete schedule at sturgisfalls.org.
Cedar Falls Community Ministry is a volunteer-driven, nonprofit organization established to preserve and promote the historic image and character of the downtown. Have fun during Sturgis Falls from Cedar Falls Community Main Street.
Get your summer tune-up at the Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center at Bill Caldwell Ford in Hudson. Quick Lane features no appointments for your maintenance needs, such as oil changes, tires, brakes, batteries, and more. So whatever you drive, drive it to the Cedar Valley Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center at Bill Caldwell Ford in Hudson.
Brad Jacobson, your State Farm agent, is proud to be a part of the Cedar Valley. Brad and his team invite you to take a break from your busy life to enjoy the celebration this weekend. And remember, no matter what your needs, like a good neighbor, Brad Jacobson State Farm is there.
Doors go up. Do you get to work and wonder?
Oh man, did my kids close the garage door when they left?
Well, worry no more. LiftMaster has the answer. With your smartphone, you can check the status of your door from almost anywhere. Ever wonder if your kids made it home from school? LiftMaster will even text anytime your garage door is open.
Christy Door is offering a 7-foot Wi-Fi enabled opener installed for $375. So call today and take advantage of the safety and reliability of a LiftMaster opener by Christy Door Company in Cedar Falls.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
The White Sox today hosting the Boston Red Sox at Guaranteed Rate Field. It's Brian Bello pitching for the Red Sox, 4-4, a 3.49 earned run average. Red Sox are the -112 road favorite. Lucas Giolito over the White Sox. They're +102 dogs at Guaranteed Rate Field, where the total is 8.5. That number is juiced to the over. London series tomorrow at London Stadium, home of West Ham United. Cubs and Cardinals will meet in a 2-game set Saturday and Sunday. Justin Steele, the game one starter for the Cubs. Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals. Both teams -110 of the money line. The total opens at 14.5 flat. Mike Sunnett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 67 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 88. Overcast tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 64. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Sunday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Monday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 91.
Hi, this is Dan Patrick, and you're listening to Cole & Company with Cole Bear weekday afternoons from 5 till 6 right here on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Friday edition of the show continues. I got a little pep in my step today because we got a full show finally. But Cubs and College World Series Baseball both return to the Fan tomorrow. So make sure you check out the details at the broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. Right now, we're looking back at last night's NBA draft, specifically Iowa All-American Chris Murray being drafted 23rd overall in the first round by the Portland Trail Blazers, and guy who covered Chris's career at the University of Iowa, our friend David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us now to have that discussion. David, thanks so much for being here, man. How are you today?
Good, Cole. Yeah, it's always good to join you. As you mentioned, the NBA draft last night was certainly interesting. A lot of movement. It was probably the first draft in a while where I sat back and said, you know, there was a lot of those mock drafts that were completely wrong after the top three picks. It was just a very, very strange draft.
Yeah, and it was a draft that, you know, in years past, it's done a better job of keeping my attention. But after the basically the second and third picks played out, I was interested to see the order of Miller and Scoot Henderson. I really just kind of checked out until it got into about the mid-teens where I figured that Chris Murray would go, because it did seem like, for as much as those mock draft guys deserve their critique there, David, that the consensus was somewhere in the mid-teens to like late first round was where Chris Murray was going to go, and he ends up going 23 overall to Portland. That's an interesting fit because, as I said at the top of the show, David, Portland's roster is as in flux, I think was the word I used, as any in the NBA right now. Like, there might not be much change, but there might be a lot of change. So what do you make of the fit for Chris Murray?
You know, I think it's interesting, Cole. I really do, because as you mentioned, I really thought he was going to Golden State. There was a lot of traction with Golden State. I think Golden State made a really smart move with them. But I think once Cam Whitmore, who was considered a top five talent, started to fall, that's when I really kind of knew, you know what, this might be a different style of draft than I've seen in recent years. But it was an interesting note. Chris Murray had met with them. Remember last year, he did go to Damian Lillard's camp for 5 days, which was for underappreciated and undervalued college basketball players. He was invited by him. So there is a relationship already there. Now, we'll see if Damian Lillard's going to remain a Portland Trailblazer. He's currently thinking about his future. But you look at some of the pieces they have. They have Shaedon Sharpe, who I still kind of waiting to break out, still a very young player. They have Lillard. They have Yusuf Nurkic. They have Jeremy Grant. Cam Reddish, they have some interesting pieces there. But this strikes me as a very good fit. And you mentioned Scoot Henderson's going to be there, and I'm very eager to see how him and Chris Murray are going to get along. But I think in terms of a low-pressure role with a high-value upside, I think Chris Murray to Portland makes a lot of sense. I was a little bit sad because he was. I'm still convinced he would have gone to the Sacramento Kings had he fallen one pick further, because the Kings waited until the very last second to get rid of that 24 pick. And I think Kings fans would have rioted in the streets had Chris Murray been available and they not taken him. But really quick, too, Cole, Chris Murray did not have an individual workout with the Portland Trail Blazers. He met with them, but I think once he was made available, they knew enough about him. He's a mature player. Probably a guy that Damian Lillard's really going to like because he's not 18, 19 years old. There's a sense of maturity to his game, and he can contribute. I think it's a really undervalued fit for Chris Murray there.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about Sacramento, and yesterday on the show, I had like 9 different mock drafts compiled, you know, ESPN, CBS, Bleacher Report, so on and so forth. And I think it was 4 out of the 9 had Chris Murray going to the Sacramento Kings. So I think you were spot on when I read your tweet about how Sacramento's like, hey, if Chris is there, we're taking him. Otherwise, all right, let's move back in this draft, which that would have been cool to see happen. But I must say, there was an interview that Chris did with Andy Katz where Andy asked him about playing against his brother finally, and he goes, well, we just won't be friends until after the game. So I like that little edge that, like, for as soft-spoken and as at times, like, you know, criticized Chris was in his college career for maybe not being as much of a boisterous alpha that people wanted him to be. You could tell there's an edge there, and I'm curious to see how that will manifest itself in the NBA versus college.
You know, and I think people just need to realize it's not that Chris and Keegan don't have that alpha dog personality. That's just who they are. They're quiet. They're soft-spoken. There's a lot of dry humor there. Like, Chris is very fun to interview because he's really funny, but you have to pay attention to when he's funny. I mean, I'd say the same thing about Kirk Ferentz. Kirk rarely delivers a lot of jokes just up front, but when you kind of catch those subtleties and hear a snort, you know he just said something. You're going to have to take a second, think about what he said. Then you realize it's a joke. But, no, I do think it's going to be a good fit for him. I think it's a good opportunity. And I do think, you know, talking to Kenyon off the record a little bit, hearing him in certain interviews, Kenyon, I think, would have really liked Keegan and Chris to play together. But I also think that it is better off that they start their careers separated. Yeah. But keep this in mind, too. They're only about 590 miles apart, so they're still pretty close to one another in the NBA realm of things. But they are going to be playing for separate teams. They won't have a similar role on the same team. So I really, really hope Damian Lillard sticks with the Blazers now because I want the Blazers to be interesting. But I do think this was a very, very good draft for the Portland Trail Blazers. You get Scoot Henderson, who probably could have gone number one in most years, Cole, to be honest with you. There's a lot of talk about it. So you get number one pick at a number three value, and then you add a solid veteran in Chris Murray. He's going to be 23 by the time the NBA starts. I mean, I think Portland's front office is happy, and I've always been a big fan of Chauncey Billups as a player. I think he has a chance to be a pretty good coach for them as well.
Yeah, I think that's great points on whatever happens with Dame Lillard. Like, you got two rookies that look poised to be contributors right away. Who's to say at just what kind of level? But the NBA draft, so much of it anymore is drafting the developmental 19, 20, maybe 21-year-old. And these guys, albeit Scoot Henderson, what, 19, 20 years old, but he's a ready-to-go, you know, that high of a level of a prospect. Yeah. So Portland's going to be a team, man, where it's like, hey, the late game came on TNT, and usually I'd probably fall asleep in the first quarter. If it's Portland now, I'm going to be taping my eyelids open to watch some Chris Murray and Scoot Henderson. I suppose the next question or last question I have about Chris – as it relates to being drafted, now playing in the NBA, is, okay, we probably have a good grip on what he can do immediately. What do you think are going to be the biggest obstacles for him, the biggest areas that he's going to need to develop his game so he can solidify himself and have a healthy career?
You know, I think a couple of things. One, the reason why I was hoping he'd go to Golden State is because there'd be a lot less pressure for him to be able to create for himself. When you have Steph Curry, you have Klay Thompson, you have Andrew Wiggins, you have a couple other pieces, right? There's just not a ton of on-ball playmakers that can create for Chris Murray now. Yeah, Damian Lillard obviously will attract a lot of attention. Scoot Henderson can get to the hoop and maybe kick out. I think Chris is going to have to become a little bit stronger of a dribbler. He's going to have to welcome that physicality when he goes in the paint. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to need to up that percentage from three-point land. Now, I think anybody who's watched Chris, you know, talking to people behind the scenes, there are a lot of people that believe he's a better three-point shooter than his college percentage indicates. I would happen to agree. I think defensively he's versatile enough. I think he'll have to be a little bit stronger on the offensive glass. But if he can create off the dribble and improve as a three-point shooter to the NBA game and have it translate over, I think he's going to have at least a six-man role. I think he has a really good opportunity to be an immediate contributor to Portland, and I think they expect him to be.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, our guest right now on a Friday edition of Cole & Company. Chris Murray, the former Iowa All-American, selected number 23 overall in the first round by the Portland Trailblazers last night in the NBA draft. Last one I have on this, David, before we talk a little football, would be, okay, I think at times it's just like too simplified, too linear to be like, well, this helps Iowa men's basketball, right? This helps Fran McCaffrey, but Can you gauge it, especially as well as you guys cover recruiting with 24/7 Sports at HawkeyeInsider.com, your colleague Sean Bach, outstanding. Does this help? Does it help a little? Does it help some? Does it help a lot? Like, I think everybody goes, well, it helps, but it's like, how much does it help?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big question. I mean, we asked Fran McCaffrey about this a couple months ago prior to the awards banquet, and he said it just doesn't help as much as it has in the past. I mean, you look at the brand new world, Cole.
Yep.
I think two things need to happen. Iowa's going to need to continue to make the tournament. I think they need to continue to improve their NIL strictly from a basketball perspective. especially when you think about some of these top contending schools, right? Like UConn, Creighton, I would even throw in that category. These are number one basketball schools. They don't really care about football. So I think Iowa's going to need to continue to improve the NIL front. And the number one job, Cole, which I don't even think we've talked about yet, that the new AD has to do, they have to invest in new facilities and put money into the basketball program. Because speaking off the record with some other coaches around the country and just sort of gauging where Iowa sits in the Big Ten when it comes to the resources and the facilities, I think Iowa's behind the curve in the Big Ten right now. I mean, you just look at Illinois this week announced they're putting a $40 million practice facility for basketball together.
Yeah.
And you think about the way Carver Hawkeye Arena is with the basketball resources that Iowa has. That's not going to get done in the modern world. I know Iowa's kind of redone their, you know, Kinnick Stadium. They're adding the world-class wrestling facility. The next AD has to make basketball, I would say, number one priority. And even not just for men's basketball, men's and women's, because look at where Iowa is in women's basketball right now. Yep. I'd consider them a top five, top six program in the country. A big part thanks to Caitlin Clark, not solely because of Caitlin Clark, but a big part of it. Obviously, Megan Gustafson helped lay that foundation as well. But this is a very, very big opportunity to not only push Iowa women's basketball forward, but to catch Iowa men's basketball up, because there can be a lot of criticism about Fran McCaffrey, some of it rightfully so. And I know people are critical about the tournament. I think that's right. But I would argue, Cole, given the resources that Iowa has right now, Fran's maximizing with what he has.
Yeah. And this makes me think about years ago when Kirk Ferentz was out fundraising like crazy for all the improvements that were made to Iowa football facilities. And he even at one point, David, said with regard to like a couple seasons that were a little below average, you know, hey, I've been out there probably fundraising too much. But you know, that's the needle you got to thread anymore. So maybe Fran's got to get out there and shake some more hands and kiss some more babies. Who knows? But a great point there with the AD has to make it a priority, because it's such an arms race. It's never ending and it's ultra competitive. In the time we have left, before I let you go, I know Iowa football had some player availability to the media earlier this week. Who did you speak to and did you get any nuggets out of anybody?
Yeah, I think the two main takeaways, number one, Cade McNamara says he's 100% healthy. I mean, obviously this was expected around this time frame, but you can't really overstate how big of a deal that is for Iowa football. And then Virginia linebacker Nick Jackson is officially on campus, began working with the team. Way shorter than Jack Campbell, but this is a guy, Cole, 352 career tackles. And it's impossible to replace what Jack Campbell brought to Iowa from a leadership perspective, from a production. I think it's impossible expectations to place on a new player. But looking at Nick Jackson's film, I mean, this is a guy that I really do believe could be an all Big Ten caliber linebacker. I think he's an NFL draft pick. And if he winds up with 120 plus tackles this year, it's not going to surprise me. And I think when you try to have a guy at least have a fraction of the production that Jack Campbell brought to the table, I think Nick Jackson is at least a proven, experienced player that brings a lot to it. And I'm very eager to see how he works in Phil Parker's defense. And the other thing is Miami, Ohio offensive lineman Rusty Feth is officially on campus. Cole, I don't know if you saw a picture.
I saw it.
That man is taken straight out of Game of Thrones.
Dude.
He is the most Iowa guy I have ever seen play offensive lineman. I mean, my goodness.
He is like if you were doing a picture dictionary of Iowa offensive linemen, put that picture right next to it, man.
It was just compelling in every sense of the word. I couldn't take my eyes. People, again, I'm not even trying to overstate it, but he looks like a mountain man, Davy Crockett, and Game of Thrones all blended into one.
Like, all that picture needed was, like, Thor's hammer in it. I mean,
yeah, no, it's exactly what I was thinking. Absolutely.
It was an all-timer. That's one that he's going to be able to brag about when he's a grandpa, that's for sure. David, great stuff, man. I got to run. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, take care, buddy. I always appreciate you. Thank you.
Likewise. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. Kind enough to join us on a Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on Twitter, at David Eicholt. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up during the break on the other side. We're going to talk some Cubs baseball. The London Series begins tomorrow, Cubs Cardinals, and you'll be able to hear it right here on The Fan, and we'll talk Cubs and maybe a little Cardinals, but more Cubs with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register next, right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Tad Kim. Iowa State incoming freshman Omaha Ballou is part of the U.S. team that opens the FIBA Under-19 World Cup in Hungary this weekend. ISU coach T.J. Otzelberger says it will be great preparation for next season for the former Waukee High School standout.
Coach Boyle, Coach Rice, Coach Boynton, great coaches. So for him to have that experience, it's almost, you know, like he's preparing to play college games or the level or above of college games.
The Americans open pool play tomorrow against Madagascar. Former Iowa star Chris Murray is a Portland Trailblazer. He was taken by the Blazers with the 23rd pick in last night's NBA draft. He joins a Blazer team that finished 33-49 last season. To baseball, the Iowa Cubs continue a homestand against Memphis tonight. The iCubs claimed a 9-5 victory Thursday. They move to a season-high 12 games above 500. And in the Midwest League, Cedar Rapids hosts Beloit. The Quad Cities are at home against Peoria. This is Radio Iowa.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Imagine someone hiding a gambling problem. How exhausting it must be. Seeing the losses pile up and feeling powerless to control it. Now imagine it's someone you love, your spouse, your child, your friend. Talk to them to understand where they're coming from, because anyone can have a gambling problem. They just need help getting their life back. Get help for them and you by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF or visiting yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
Conservative governor and business leader Doug Burgum.
I grew up in a tiny town in North Dakota. Woke was what you did at 5 a.m. to start the day. I started a shoeshine business, worked at the grain elevator, and as a chimney sweep. I literally bet the farm to help build a tiny startup into a billion-dollar company with customers in 132 countries. A kid from small-town North Dakota. That's America.
That's Doug Burgum, world-class business leader, remarkably successful two-term conservative governor. Doug Burgum has a conservative plan for the economy, energy, and national security. He'll cut taxes, create energy independence, and win the Cold War with China. Doug Burgum is a new leader for a changing economy.
I'm Doug Burgum, and I approve this message. Paid for by Doug Burgum for America.
Make plans to gather at Gilmore's Pub. From family dinners to business lunches, Gilmore's is comfort food with flair. Juicy burgers from local beef, hearty sandwiches, fresh salads, and house-made seasonal desserts. Enjoy it all with your favorite beer, wine, or handcrafted cocktail. Gather at Gilmore's Pub for lunch or dinner Tuesday through Saturday off Prairie Parkway at Western Home Communities in Cedar Falls. Gilmore's Pub, cf.com.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 86. This is how you say, gee willikers, it's a hot one. Let's cool down with some Bud Lights. That's it for today. Bud Light. Crisp.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Friday edition of the show continues. Hope your day's going well. Hope you have an outstanding weekend. And if you want to have an outstanding weekend, it usually helps if you're listening to the man, the myth, the legend himself, Tommy Burch, who joins us now, Des Moines Register sports writer And I think he's at Principal Park in Des Moines where the Iowa Cubs have a game tonight. Tommy, as always, thanks so much for being here. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing outstanding and even better now because we're chatting and we're talking Cubs. And the Cubs are red hot, man. They've won 8 of 9. This is a much different conversation than we had last time where we're thinking Jed Hoyer is probably going to sell at the trade deadline. Now it's looking like, man, this NL Central just remains so gettable that the Cubs roster is still flawed. Like, I think it's important to bring that up. Like, we weren't wrong about that the couple different times it had come up talking Cubs earlier this season on the show. The roster is still flawed, maybe a little less flawed than it was 5 weeks ago. But what do you make of this hot streak that the Cubs are on?
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, it's kept them in the conversation of what do you do at the trade deadline. But, you know, look, there's still a lot of time. And I think if you're Jed Hoyer, you're still kind of sitting on the fence of, like, which way to go. Because not enough has really been done during the first half of the season to say, look, we're going to go all in. We're going to end up being complete buyers. And I don't think, like, you're going to get a situation where one, either a complete sell-off or two, a complete buy-in. Two, I think, look, if the Cubs end up making some deals to acquire talent, it's going to be for guys that, you know, they can have more than one season of control over, more than one half season. I don't think they're going to give up prospects that jeopardize the team's future just to get them for a couple months, knowing that there's just, like you said, there's still a lot of flaws with this team. This is a team that should get to the postseason, but realistically, like, how deep can this team go into the postseason? I think that's the question that Jed Hoyer has to ask himself. And I think when you look at it, there's probably not enough to acquire at the trade deadline to really take them to that next level, but there is going to be enough during the offseason for them to go out and get without jeopardizing long-term future of this club.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, our guest right now. Cubs begin their London series against the St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow. You'll hear those games right here on The Fan Saturday and Sunday, 11:35 pregame tomorrow, 8:35 a.m. pregame on Sunday. And Tommy, speaking of the trade deadline, the names I've heard the most, Aroldis Chapman, who is with the Kansas City Royals and has somewhat reestablished himself after an ugly exit with the New York Yankees this past season. And then Justin Turner, the 38-year-old third baseman who is with the Boston Red Sox, who by all means don't look like they're going to be in playoff contention at all. Turner's got a player option after this year. I think if this were the Jim Hendry club, Cubs, you could probably speak maybe even more intelligently to that. But if it was Jim Hendry, I think we'd be like, yeah, I feel like Jim Hendry go out there and he's going to try to get those two guys. I don't have, I mean, who the hell can read Jed Hoyer? But those are the names that have come up. And part of me goes, man, I just don't know, even though I don't think those guys should be too cost prohibitive to get, if Jed's still going to push that many chips into the middle of the table.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the key to the question is what type of prospects, what type of talent do you have to give up to go and get those guys? When it comes to Chapman, obviously, you know, he has had that resurgence. Even with Turner, you know, he's still a really good player, but you're looking at two guys who are definitely on the back nine of their baseball careers. How much do they have left in the tank? Realistically, are those going to be the two things that really ultimately push you to get to the next level? Obviously, the Cubs need some more help when it comes to third base. Obviously, they need some help when it comes to the bullpen. But once again, how much do you want to give up to, I guess, really, you know, sacrifice in terms of what you feel confident in terms of what you have in the minor league system? I think the good thing, too, for the Cubs is some of the deals that they made over the last couple of years has allowed them to replenish the minor league system, too, where they can go out and possibly get some of these guys, maybe like a Turner, possibly like a Chapman, and really not give up too much. You know, obviously, you aren't talking about giving up Pete Crow Armstrong, but, you know, you do have some abundance of talent in the minor league system that you can possibly play with. You know, guys like Caleb Killing, guys like Brennan Davis, you know. guys who used to be prized prospects and now really could possibly use a change of scenery and then maybe some other prospects deeper in the system. But the key is going to be, one, how confident do you feel in this year's team? Two, can you have control over any of those guys next year? And then three, what's the asking price? I think, like I had said before, ultimately, I think they're going to kind of sit on the ledge here when it comes to the trade deadline. Really going full-blown one way or another.
Yeah, I would just imagine Jed's going to let this team tell him everything it can right up until, you know, the last 36 hours before the deadline and then move accordingly at that point, whether or not it costs him an opportunity at a guy who maybe a Chapman gets moved 5 days ahead of the deadline instead of in the last 36 hours. I think he's going to be, like, you know, that stubborn about it. I mean, if there was one prediction I would make about Jed and how this plays out, that would be it. But you mentioned Pete Crow Armstrong, and for Cubs fans out there that are unaware, this guy has got the prospect pedigree that an Anthony Rizzo, pretty close to a Chris Bryant had, I think it's fair to say. And Tommy, you had mentioned at the start of the season when we had spoke, there's a chance he gets to Des Moines, to AAA. Is it still a little too early to have heard any of those rumblings? Because I know we got Cubs fans listening that go, I'm hopping in the car, we're getting in the van, or we're getting in the truck, and we'll go to Des Moines when PCA puts an iCubs jersey on, hopefully this summer.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite at that point. We are getting closer. I would say there were obviously some really good signs that when it comes to PCA's development that lead you to believe, okay, he is trending in that direction. He had a really strong start to the season. He ended up struggling a little bit and then got back on track. I think that is something the Cubs really like to see, is a guy who actually struggles a little bit and sees how they end up rebounding from that. So that's a really good sign. But then, you know, I've always thought when it comes to PCA, what his timetable kind of looked like was possibly a Chris Bryant type timetable where, you know, he'd spend most of the year in Double-A and possibly by the second half of the season makes that jump to Triple-A. I would say the only kind of qualifying, maybe asterisk part to, you know, this whole debate is, like, right now the Iowa Cubs have an abundance of talent in the outfield right now. You know, you've got Nelson Velasquez. Now, granted, he's over in London as part of the taxi squad, but, yeah, you know, you've got Alexander Canario, who's working his way back. Brendan Davis, you don't know if he's going to be back this year. So, you know, it's like, look, when you bring up Pete Crow Armstrong, he's a guy who's going to play every day. He's not going to sit the bench and maybe play 5 days a week and let Darius Hill or somebody else get at that. He is going to be the priority. So, one, they got to make sure he's ready, and two, they got to make sure they have the opportunities for him. But I think, obviously, the situation has rapidly arisen where he is certainly earning his spot to be up here. And I think maybe the trade deadline ultimately offers some clarity for those open spots as well.
Yeah, no doubt. You could see some of that glut of talent. Guys that look like they could be major league regulars, but not a lot of opportunity for them with the big league club, and possibly would be better off on a team that has the, you know, the playing time for them. So it'll be interesting to see how some of that minor league depth maybe shakes itself out at the trade deadline. Tommy, before I let you go, how about just thoughts on this London series? Because we've seen it before. Apparently they're moving the fences back a little bit. Because the Yankees-Red Sox series kind of turned into a mini home run derby. So that's a thing that's happening. Meanwhile, the Cubs are red hot, and then you're flying across the pond. You got 2 days off before. You got 1 day off coming back. You know, there's some Cubs fans out there being Cubs fans, you know, with the paranoia of, man, is this going to mess things up? Like, what's been your assessment of the London series, and how do you think this, you know, like, will hit this Cubs team with how they're playing?
Yeah, I mean, the timing is ideal, but realistically, there probably isn't a great time to make a trip overseas and go to London. But I would say for Cubs fans, like, you're going to be watching a baseball game at 9 in the morning. That's a good time to get up and start drinking. So I can't imagine Cubs fans, like, really being that upset about having a game at 9 in the morning. I think they'll adjust just fine, but You know, I would say on the other part of it, look, right now during this season, is there really a bad time to play the St. Louis Cardinals? Does it matter where you play them? I mean, I think you're catching them at a great time right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's going to help grow the game. It's going to, you know, it's one of those things that I think can help a team too, where, you know, it kind of breaks up the monogamy of a season. You know, a lot of the guys always talk about going to Field of Dreams and how much that kind of changes things up on the schedule, where it just gets to be, you know, the same routine over and over. I'm sure the trip to Munding kind of is the same thing, where it might, you know, ignite some energy and some new life into a team as well. So we'll find out. But like I said, you know, 9 a.m. baseball, I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Tommy, great stuff. Great to catch up. Have an outstanding weekend, man.
I make no promises.
Oh, man, Tommy Burch, our guy, Des Moines Register sports writer, kind enough to join us on this Friday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this final time out. We come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Sherry Burris with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Aaron Rodgers and his former offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett are together again in New York. In Green Bay, Rodgers won two MVP awards while working with Hackett. The Jets OC told Peter Schrager on the Season podcast, quote, "I just want to see Aaron play some of the best football he's ever played in his career." Hackett will call the plays, but says Rodgers will have freedom in the offense. And speaking of the Jets, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports an MRI confirms safety Chuck Clark suffered a torn ACL and will miss the season. New York acquired Clark via trade from the Ravens, where he only missed one game the last three seasons. And running back Kareem Hunt is still unemployed. But the veteran running back says he's just being patient. Hunt says he's training, working hard, and just staying ready. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Want to keep your AC from conking out? At your local one-hour heating and air conditioning, we recommend an AC tune-up, ASAP. It can help pinpoint potential problems and even extend the life of your air conditioning system. How's that for a comforting thought? Right now, get cool savings on an AC tune-up. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The NBA draft is officially in the books, and no one is surprised at the number one pick overall, Victor Wembanyama. 7'4", or 5, or 6, he's been hailed as the best prospect since LeBron. Capable shooter, impact defender, and a true unicorn in today's game. And with Greg Popovich still in town, he's a perfect fit for the struggling Spurs. Pop is known for leading San Antonio to 5 titles, but his work as a player developer is often overlooked. Popovich has developed Hall of Famers like Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. Also created an all-star out of a late first-round pick, DeJounte Murray, and helped build Kawhi Leonard into a 2-time finals MVP and a perennial MVP candidate. Now Pop will have the opportunity to work with one of the more promising prospects in recent memory. And if history is any indication, that's bad news for the rest of the Western Conference for years to come. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part? You don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Summer is about the three F's: family, friends, food. Nothing brings them all together like King's Hawaiian. King's Hawaiian Slider Sunday is a great weekly mealtime ritual and the perfect way to kick off your summer. All the great slider recipes start with King's Hawaiian. Their original Hawaiian sweet rolls, pre-sliced slider buns, or the perfectly sweet, salty pretzel slider buns. If you want to get everybody together, the Sunday family dinner, or just a barbecue, King's Hawaiian wants to make every Sunday Slider Sunday.
Bust it. It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Friday. Thanks so much for being here. Hope you have an outstanding weekend. Come out and see me at Sturgis Falls. I'll wave at you if you're going to be at the parade tomorrow morning. You won't be able to miss me. I'll have the big 1650 The Fan banner waving proudly. And then I'll be at Overman Park on Sunday, midday. So Mark Simpson will be there, Overman Park, Saturday, midday. So come on out, say hello, enjoy your weekend, and have a good, fun, and safe time at Sturgis Falls. Meanwhile, coming up this weekend, as I've mentioned throughout the show, we've got the Cubs in London taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. It's a two-game series, and pregame coverage of Game 1 of the London series against the Cards begins at 11:35 tomorrow here on The Fan. That's a 12:10 first pitch. Marcus Stroman, the Stro Show, is going to be on the mound for Game 1. Then it's going to be Justin Steele on the mound for Game 2. So the 1 and 2 men in the Cubs rotation will face off against the Cardinals Sunday's game, as Tommy Burch was just mentioning in the previous segment. That's a 8:35 a.m. pregame with a 9:10 first pitch for Justin Steele. Not local, I mean, for them anyways. Local for us. And then the College World Series begins tomorrow night at 5:45, Florida LSU. All sorts of great stuff to listen to this weekend. Have a great weekend. I'm back Monday.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.